You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Sunday, the 21st of October. Please do join us for Kempton as they get their season underway. We're also racing at Sedgefield for the Durham National Day. And over in Ireland, two meetings, Cork and Naas, a couple of listed races over in Naas. So it's not a bad day of action, and you can join us for all the day's racing from 1:25 p.m. Dave Kellner will be joined by Sean Quinn and Paddy Aspall in the studio. Here on the podcast, my name is John Gibby, and Ross Bridie is alongside me. Hello, Ross.
Hello, John Gibby.
Good to have you with us here at William Hill Towers for the second day in a row.
I know, and you've been in here, you've been locked in this building for 3 weeks now.
Yes, exactly. I'm wondering if I'm ever going to see my loved ones ever again.
That is true. They, however, are thrilled to bits.
Fantastic. And we should be thrilled to bits with what's happened on Champions Day, because it was a day worthy of the title. We've got to start off by talking about Cracksman. It was sort of, except for the fact he was wearing headgear this time around, a very similar performance to what he put in last year.
Yeah, he's a bit of a lazy sod, isn't he, when he wants to be, but then he's just an incredible racehorse. And I thought it was a good ride by Frankie Dettori. Made sure he got him settled in the right place, which is just, you know, on the outside of the runners at Ascot, because horse like Cracksman, you don't want to get him crowded. You don't want to have to do anything he doesn't want to do. Pulled out wide and powered clear. And the moment he got daylight, they were never going to get anywhere near him, because his main rivals were horses who stayed a bit further and had nothing like his turn of foot, especially in these conditions. Again, the blinkers are something that John Gosden reaches for very rarely, but it certainly made him look a lot more professional than he had done this season. So they did the job. And capped an almost perfect day, really, for an absolute genius of a man in John Gosden. So yeah, it was a fantastic performance. I mean, the race was there for him to be won. He was against his second favourite was a mile and a half horse. Third favourite was arguably a mile and six horse. So he was the one who had the perfect conditions, but he still had to go and do it, and he did.
As you've alluded to, it was a really good day for John Gosden, with Roaring Lion and Stradivarius also doing the business. What other performances did impress you on Champions Day? Would it be those two that you'd be focusing on?
Well, I mean, the one, we can go through them very quickly, one by one, if you like. I thought Stradivarius was, again, given a good ride. He's another one who maybe would have been tested by a proper test in those conditions, but it wasn't a proper test, it was a bit of a dawdle. So he managed to get first run on his rivals into the home straight and put the race to bed. A bit of a dawdle in the sprint as well. Sanzamali given a great ride by Paul Hannigan. I mean, he had every chance to go close on his Commonwealth Cup form, but the fact that the first three were the first three throughout casts doubt over that overall form. But you know, Richard Farhill won't care. That's just how it goes in sprints. You know, it pretty much switches from one extreme to another. US Navy Flag in the July Cup, for example, and I think it balances out over the course of the season. The speed horses get their day, and the travellers get theirs. So, yeah, I think it was fair enough, and a good win for the Fire Yard. The fillies and mares, Magical again, much like Hydrangea, who won it last year, untested really over this trip. One run in the arc, but it's hard to know exactly whether she stayed from that one run. But she bred to improve, and so she did. And Roaring Lion, they went a proper clip in the QE2, which suited him down to the ground. But still, you've got to... He had the class angle. I mean, he was rated 127. The two horses that chased him home were rated 110 and 114. So the fact that he's got nearly a stone in hand of those meant that he should have been winning it like that. But obviously the question mark over the conditions and the trip. Yeah, and then we got to Cracksman and Sharjah Bridger won last. It was a good day. A couple of, like I said, the first two maybe a little bit frustrating that you wanted a proper gallop and a proper race, but hard to find any winners where they were undeserved.
Well, a good Saturday. We'll hope for a good day of action on Sunday as well. Much more focus on the jump, certainly in Britain anyway, but there is still flat racing over in Ireland at Naas. You've got two selections for us as usual on the podcast. Ross, what are you going for?
Two for me, one over jumps and one on the flat. Tough day because it's a transitional time. But the 3:40 at Kempton I thought was an interesting race. A 0-140 handicap chase. Looks a good one. Won last year by Oliver's Hill. Who reopposes this time around, could be of interest. Casablanca Mix is likely to be popular as well. Should have been coming into this off the back of two wins, but fell when the race was very much at its mercy at Exeter last time we saw it. But I thought Robin's Hill was interesting, again, given the fact that Nigel Twist and Davies is doing his usual, and that's to start the season in rampant form. A bold jumper, a prominent racer, which will suit around this track. And he'll get the ground he wants as well. His last couple of runs have been in a pretty testing. I mean, they were in the spring, but they were in winter ground. I mean, he had no chance against Footpad, obviously, and soft ground at Aintree behind Ben Telemar was also a big ask. Before that, he was 2.5 miles at Ascot in soft, so he really hasn't had his conditions since hacking up at Ludlow last year. So I thought he was of interest from a yard who obviously get their horses ready first time out.
Okay, and your other selection, that runs over in Ireland.
Yeah, this is a horse that's been on the tracker for, well, the whole season really, and he's, I'm kind of glad she hasn't won, because her last two starts, she was 50-1 and 25s, and she finished third and second, so if she won one of them and I hadn't backed her, I'd be pretty damn annoyed. But two good runs early on in the season meant that I thought Merited was definitely going to be one for handicaps. Gone off big prices, but gone close in two starts so far, and there was a slight concern that maybe she was given the runner or in the right place at the right time last time at Tipperary. But two horses have come out of that race, the first and the third. Aussie Valentine won next time out at Dundalk, and Insignia of Rank won next time at Limerick off a mark of 86, and is now rated 97 and ran in a listed race this afternoon. So that looks a rock-solid race. And like I said, everything seems to be combining to suggest that Merited is getting the hang of things at the back end of the season, so she would be the pick for me in the 4:50.
Merited then in the mile and a quarter handicap at Naas on Sunday. It's live on Racing Radio. In addition to the rest of the day's action, Kempton, Sedgefield, York and Naas, the four meetings on Sunday, and the fun gets underway at 1:25. Dave Cowley, your host on Sunday. Thanks very much for joining us today on the podcast, and also thanks to Ross for being with us.
Thank you, John. As ever, it's a pleasure to spend any amount of time with your fine self.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.